What would you do if you got scammed? Would you suffer in silence, or would you do something about it? Well, I got scammed once, and this is the story of what I did. I'm Justin Sales, the host of The Wedding Scammer, a true crime podcast from The Ringer. And for 7 episodes, we're hunting a con man, a guy with a lot of aliases, a guy who's ruined a lot of weddings. And with the help of some friends, I just might be able to catch him. Listen to The Wedding Scammer on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
30 yes. minutes.
If you want to be a part of this podcast, give us a call at 646-STEW-138.
Now, I'm about to say something that I've not cleared with my co-host or my producer, but call 646-STEW-138 and give us non-traditional Thanksgiving suggestions. I think we should have a Thanksgiving special in advance of the holiday.
Okay.
And I think people should call in, be part of the show, and tell us what you do to make your Thanksgiving a little bit different and a little bit better.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, good.
You know what mine is. No turkey.
We did that last year.
Yeah.
Tune in 2 weeks.
All right. On to our first story of the day. It's a heat rock. There's a restaurant in Georgia called Toccoa River. And do you think that's how you say it, Toccoa?
Yeah. Have you seen it? Have you been? I did deep dive on this restaurant.
Oh, okay.
It is lovely.
Oh, what does it look like?
Oh, it looks like a farmhouse outside on the banks of a river with tons of outdoor seating along the river. And you think about outdoor bodies of water.
Toccoa Riverside.
Yeah, to be next to. Rivers are nice because of the audio aspect.
Oh, the running water.
It's really nice. I mean, waves are good too. Lakes, not so much. Ponds, not so much. But this is a lovely space with outdoor seating and a very rustic sort of country vibe to it.
This does look nice.
It's in wood paneling everywhere.
It's in Blue Ridge, Georgia. It looks like a cabin. It kind of reminds me of this museum I went to in Stockholm. But this looks really nice.
Yeah.
Be careful bringing your kids there, because if your kids aren't well behaved, they will give you a $50 surcharge for poorly behaved kids. And
but no, note what the surcharge is actually for.
Well, it's for the parents not being able to control their kids.
Yes, but it's noted on the receipt. It says like adults not being able to control their kids.
It says unable to parent.
Unable to parent. That's what it is. Unable to parent. Well, the kids are still alive, right? Able to parent. I have a few things about this. Number one, okay. The number of children they had at the table was 11. It wasn't a family with three kids. That's the major complainants.
There were three families that were dining together.
Four total. The complainants and three other families.
Yes. And this story has gone like viral, quote unquote, because it ended up on the Today Show. Because one of the families, the Landmans, Lindsay and Kyle, complained about this surcharge.
Yes.
And so that's how we know about this. And there's, as you said, multiple kids, multiple families.
Yes, Lindsay and Kyle have three lovely children, all boys, which is a tough look. I mean, God, I feel for them already. But there's eight other children there. Apparently, they dined. One thing that they noted their kids were on their iPads while the dinner was being, or the food, I should say, was being prepared and brought to the table. And then after they ate, which often kids don't want to like sit around and wait for the bill or whatever, they went on a little walk around, and it looks like a lovely place to eat.
A great place to go for a walk.
Great place to go for a walk. You're riverside in the woods. It sounds awesome. It sounds like an awesome place to eat a meal.
Absolutely.
So another question for you, Juliet.
Yes?
Let's imagine you had a party of, let's say there's 11 kids, four families. Let's say there's only six adults on the conservative side, mm-hmm. 11 kids, 19 people. You got to imagine like a surcharge is included, right?
Sure.
19 people at a table.
Absolutely.
$50 seems pretty low in terms of a can't control your kids charge, right?
Yes. Oh, were you going with the butt?
No. It seems like a very low number. It's like, hey, you can't control your kids. Here's a $50 on top of what must be a $300, $400 bill.
So I think they split the bill. because it was $50 per bill.
Per family.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. So per card.
Yes, basically.
So it's probably four cards, 200 total.
So it's an extra $200 for eating at this restaurant.
I would love it if someone's like, I've only got two kids. They've got three.
Also, apparently it's on the menu. It says adult surcharge for adults unable to parent.
Oh, no. I thought it said, like, you have to be respectful to the staff at all times.
It says both. It says be respectful to staff, property, and self. No respect, no service.
How do you feel about this as a person without children?
I think it's really unfriendly, and I don't know why you'd go to this restaurant. Like, if they're so hostile towards kids, like, why even go? Like, I would just be like, if you don't want me here, I don't want to be here.
And there were multiple people that posted online that they, like, brought a stroller and a child, and then they were, like, kind of looked at the wrong way when they got there,
yeah.
And the stroller was moved. This only happened to me once, and it was at one of our favorite restaurants of all time.
Home State?
Pump.
Oh, yes. Well, Pump, they also don't want kids.
Yeah, they were just like, what is this child doing here? And I was like, you know what? Probably shouldn't have brought my kid here. Love the show. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it says in full on the website. This is from their menu from the website. Gratuity of 18% may be added to parties over six, separate checks, birthday menu, adult surcharge for parents unable to parent. For adults unable to parent, $3 signs are followed by that.
Ooh.
And then a share charge of $3. And then the be respectful line. Plus, no store food permitted in dining area. So they also have a store.
They also have a nice little store, yeah.
They also give you Wi-Fi. The password is Silly
Beans.
It seems
like a full-on destination restaurant.
It definitely is. And so they're just trying to discourage having kids there, which, like, I just think they should make a rule, no kids then.
I've often found the best places to dine with my children are outdoor places with room to roam.
Yeah, like a picnic table style.
Yeah, and this is like on a path by a river. So it's just like plenty of places to explore and get away from the table and do things.
It looks really nice. So you're saying that you should be able to go there with your kids.
Yeah, it'd be a place that I would pick out on the map and be like, this is going to be a great time with the kids.
But if you know they're so hostile, would you want to do it?
No. Why would I want to swim up that street?
It just sounds,
you know what I mean?
Let's
go to a place
so
where they're
unfun.
Welcome. Yeah.
So we have a personal postmortem for this because you just walked into the studio and you're like, let's call the restaurant.
Let's call them up.
So what happened when you called?
I called up and right off the jump, I could tell the gentleman who answered the phone might even be the person, Mr. Richter, who's detailed as being kind of confrontational.
Surly.
Yeah, surly. The attitude of the person answering this phone on the other end of the phone at a restaurant, which you want to encourage Southern hospitality and warmth and welcome, did not exhibit such. Maybe I wasn't the first person to call that day.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't picking up what you were putting down. He was not into your friendly relationship that you often cultivate at restaurants.
Yes.
And he were like, hey, what's up? How are you? And he just repeated, like, Takaya,
how can I help you?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to come on this Saturday. I was planning. He's like, come on by. He's like, how many people? I said, six. He said, come on by anytime. And I was like, well, I'm going to bring my four kids. I only have three, but whatever. I'm not going to be there this weekend, I don't think. And he was like,
his tone changed
quickly.
Even further.
And he wasn't asking questions and listening for answers. He was very strongly explaining their policy, which is, to paraphrase, if you can't take care of your fucking kids, don't come here.
He said, if you bring your kids, have them behave. If they don't behave, it's not on them. They're innocent. They're kids. It's on you.
And then he said, you will get shit on.
If you can't parent, you'll get shit on.
Which is just a crazy turn of phrase. He didn't say you'll be charged an extra $50. He said you'll get shit on, which is just an insane thing to say.
And then he hung up on you.
Yeah, and then he hung up the phone without saying goodbye or anything. I will not be dining there this weekend. I wasn't going to, but now I'm definitely, definitely not going to.
It does look really nice.
It does.
It's too bad.
Yeah, with the fall foliage leaves all around, it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to Atlanta.
It's 2 hours outside of Atlanta.
My bad. Blue Ridge, Georgia.
Yeah.
On Google, it said like Atlanta, and then it said like, Google made it seem like it was in the Atlanta area. So I was like, okay, no, cool.
But Atlanta is kind of like LA. It's like spread out.
It's very spread. Yeah. Well, good luck to them. Their bad press continues.
Do you think this bad press gets them more money or less money?
I think less. Because like,
But people might be like me, like, this is kind of gorgeous. I didn't know this existed.
I know, but if you're going to go with your kids.
I think there'll be less kids dining definitely. There because of this, but I think they're going to net zero on the whole thing.
Probably. I think it's like probably small impact anyway, just probably a lot of people calling.
More phone calls.
And being annoying.
Yeah, like myself.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's move on. A new world record has been set on the island of Cyprus. A man whose name is Aristotelis Valoritis danced and held 319 wine glasses over his head on trays in like doing a traditional Cypriot dance.
Yes, this was a gentleman dressed up as a server. He has a white vest on and he looks exactly what you think he looks like. Yes, he looks exactly what you think he looks like, though. Like, whatever you're envisioning, yes, that is what he looks like. Not only did he, because I've been around a food-related world record being broken by Guinness, and I mentioned before in this pod, they're very serious about this.
Very. I went to the website to look at the way that you have to do it. It's
my
very
friend
serious.
Aristotis was not very serious about this. He was literally dancing while he breaking the record.
It was part of his showmanship.
He's I loved like, it.
Me too. I loved his moves. He looked great.
Yeah, great moves. It was nine trays, so basically nine floors, probably about 20 glasses apiece or whatever. And it was 30 kilograms, which you do the quick math, it's about 67 pounds.
That's a lot.
On his head.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
I was really impressed by this man. Not only did he break the record, he broke it with ease.
He had a real joie de vivre as well.
Yeah.
He just seemed like happy and he was really excited to be in this situation. I'm really happy for him.
Taking it that serious, which I loved.
I'm glad I know about him.
Like, me
I'm
too.
Just like, I hope he's having a great day.
And in the thing, they're like, oh, like for people that know about traditional Cyprus dances. It's no mistake that the two world record holders come from this island. I did some light Googling and the Tatsia is a traditional Cypriot. Cypriati?
No.
Okay. Cypriot dance where you hold basically like a pasta strainer and put wine glasses in it
sieve.
And dance around.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a sieve used that way. A sieve to me was like a knife in jail.
That's a shiv.
Shiv. There you go. Sorry. Also, Roy sister. Yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why it's like a double entendre. Like she will shiv you.
Didn't know that.
Because she will.
Well, the sieve, you hold some wine in there, you dance around. So I guess dancing and holding glasses is a thing, is a Cypriot thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Didn't know that.
Let's move on. Love to learn from you. Thank you. Next, Ralph Lauren stores in four cities in America have cafes, including here in New York. And like they get crowded.
I had no idea.
There's one on Madison in like 79th or 72nd, and people just like sit outside. It looks very fancy, but you're just like, oh, this is just coffee at a Ralph Lauren store.
Yes.
Well, if you'd like to experience this and you are not in New York or LA or Miami or DC, good news, you can now buy Ralph's canned cold brew online from Ralph Lauren. And even better news, it's a collaboration with La Colombe, my favorite coffee brand.
Boom. This is right up Juliet's alley.
I'll be buying it, obviously.
You will.
It's nice packaging. Yeah,
but
I want to try it.
The price point seems high. I mean, it's more expensive than La Colombe.
It's six cans for $24. Cans for $24.
Oh, that changes things. That's $6 a can. That's expensive.
It's ridiculously expensive.
That's expensive.
La Colombe is way cheaper and it's still expensive.
It's the same stuff with a different can.
The highest price of a La Colombe is like $3 a can, but you can get like the big carafe of it and the plastic one for like anywhere from $5 to $7.50.
Probably better look. Now, this had me thinking about Polo as a brand, which is one of the most established, strongest brands. Like, it's truly like a well-cultivated brand that you associate, you know, certain things with, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, like, is coffee really the way we want to go with this?
Good question.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of other extensions of the Polo brand that I would naturally think would be good associations besides coffee.
I think the margins on coffee for an established brand have to be very good because it just seems like an easier way to make money than, I don't know, like making it almost anything else.
Yeah, sheets or whatever.
They probably just have a deal, to your point, with La Colombe, where La Colombe is like already making this coffee. It's like a licensing deal in reverse, basically, where they're just like buying coffee that's already been made, maybe buying overages.
Yeah, the biggest overhead is like making the cans.
Designing
and making the cans.
And that's cheap.
And then introducing the different shaped cans into the manufacturing flow of that La Colombe has existing.
It looks the same as a La Colombe can.
And that's just new.
It's just a white and green label, which is really nice. I like
it's
this
a nice label.
I'd like to have it on a hat. Like I'd get a green Ralph's coffee hat. Which is probably more expensive than making coffee. Yeah, I would love to have that. If that's available, maybe I'll buy that.
Holidays are coming up.
I would like to be a baseball hat person. I'm really not. I don't look good at them.
I'm never a baseball hat person either.
But my idol is Bryn Whitfield from The Real Housewives of New York reboot. And she wears hats all the time and looks so good that I'm like, could I try to pull this off?
You could.
Thanks.
Have you ever seen me wear a baseball hat?
Only when we went to Spain. And then like one other time when it was raining and you said, have you ever seen me wear a baseball hat? And I said, yes, when we went to Spain.
Okay, good.
So that's it. We went to Spain thanks to United.
Shout
in case
United.
Anyone forgot.
Flying United tomorrow.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow, where are you going?
Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's far away. Good luck. Let's move on to something that I consider very controversial.
I'm dying to hear that because I read the entire rundown. There wasn't much controversial besides that Riverside restaurant.
I love a McFlurry. I love the spoon that comes with a McFlurry. McDonald's is getting rid of the specialty spoon.
It makes perfect sense.
I mean, yes. Is it a practical spoon? Does it offer anything that a regular spoon doesn't? Absolutely not.
No.
But I'd say part better, of the experience.
Better handle feel. I like the thickness of the handle because I have big hands.
You think it's going to be a straw, though, and it's not.
So that I never had a problem with. When I first saw them, this was one of the biggest parts of the story was people think it's a straw. When I first saw the spoon, I immediately thought, oh, look, they use the spoon as the thing that spins the McFlurry. That's convenient and nice. Look what they did.
That's really interesting. Like, I never thought of it that way once.
You never put that. The second I saw the spoon, it was the first thing. I think that I might have seen them make it, so
maybe.
That might have helped.
Huh. I know. I never thought of it.
You never put that together?
No, I never did.
Huh.
Goodbye you, man. You know, I was never a food service professional like you, so maybe that's why.
That's a great point.
I love that spoon, though. I also just, like, love a McFlurry. And
they're good.
I don't know. It just, like, makes it slightly less special.
What's your McFlurry order?
Well, you know, I haven't had one in a long time, which is, this is making me think that I should. I used to always go with M&M's, which as an adult, I can see is so idiotic. Obviously, you should just be going with Oreos.
Yeah, Oreo is like kind of the only way to go.
I don't know what I was thinking. I messed up. For years, I was just fucking up left and right every time I went to McDonald's. Should we go to McDonald's?
One could argue that you're fucking up every time you go to McDonald's, period. Stop. Like, one can make that argument.
In the article that producer Mike provided, it referred to McDonald's as a mega polluter. And I was like, that really makes me feel bad about McDonald's.
Well, then they also said, that, like, oh, well, it produces more pollutants than Norway. And I'm like, Norway is small. McDonald's is global. Like, I think if you take just, like, the volume, the size of space that McDonald's contains is probably the size of Norway.
Probably. It's a good point. Norway is small.
So I'm like, kind of like, I don't know.
Also, like, even for the land, it's not that populated. Like,
yeah.
So it's not like a densely populated small country. All right. Let's move on to an exciting follow-up.
Is it Norwegian? Because we have a Norway peg that you can transition right into.
I want to talk about the crab theft that we now have a follow-up on.
Oh, yeah, we do.
So there's a lot of theft going on in parking lots of tractor trailers in the state of
Philly.
In Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I just want to note, if you're a truck driver and you need to rest, maybe like change your route so you're not resting there. It's ripe for being looted because some robbers were caught.
The robbers?
It's suspected. It's not confirmed.
Okay.
But robbers were caught looting a truck of dimes, like a 10-cent piece.
Actual dime.
A 10-cent piece, yes. $234,500 worth of dimes. And they were taking the dimes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Quick question, because this is the question that came to my mind. Is that the dumbest thing to steal or the smartest thing to steal?
I think really smart. I bet it's like easy to launder.
No, they had trouble.
Well, they had to like first... They probably like
they went
me.
To like Coinstar at like a grocery store and were like, can we like get $40,000? They'd be like, what are you doing?
Well, I wouldn't go to Coinstar. I think if you're a smarter robber, it's probably easy to launder. Like, I feel like Jason Bateman on Ozark would be like, yeah, I got it. No problem.
How do you do that though?
I don't know. I'm not Jason Bateman on Ozark.
Roll $500,000 of dimes in rolls and like go to banks around the country on a tour.
Start paying for stuff with just dimes.
Dimes? It just seems like I couldn't decide if this is like the most, is stealing money smart or dumb? I couldn't tell.
I thought what seemed hard, as we often discuss this, is just the sheer like magnitude. And they did have to break up into like smaller bags because it's so heavy. So many, all these dimes.
Super heavy. If you ever have like too much change in your purse or pocket or wallet, you're like,
yeah, it's the
this
worst.
Is too much.
Yeah, you got to get rid of it. So anyway, In the court filings, so the suspects have also stolen frozen crab legs, shrimp, meat, beer, and liquor from other tractor trailers in the area. So I feel certain we've discussed their work before.
We found them.
Yeah.
And I thought—
you mean people reporting on this.
No, you and I. I once spoke to three people at that police department. So I think that sort of reinvigorated the investigation. You're welcome.
Also, just to your point about, like, is this smart or dumb? They spilled thousands of coins when they were trying to get away. So I don't know that they're the most accomplished robbers.
No, but also coins are heavy. They've got a bag. The bag breaks open the bottom. Coins. Imagine like hundreds of dimes just fall out of your bag. Like, are you going to pick up every single one and try to put them back in the bag? No, I'm just going to keep moving.
Another detail is that with the crab and other perishable goods that they stole, they try to sell it over the internet. I'm just like, who is buying random crab
meat? Where's the black market?
On eBay.com or wherever.
I feel like you can, like, also buy, like, illegal animals right next to the frozen crab. I feel like whatever you're on is, like, the worst part of the internet that should probably just be taken down.
The whole thing is, like, just perplexing.
Exactly.
I'd love to interview these guys. Once they're, like, just chilling and they've got stuff figured out, whether that's, like, you know, being detained for a long period of time or on parole.
Oh, no. I know exactly what's going
to
happen.
I'd love to hear more.
They're going to be able to tie them to the other robbers. But being like, one of you guys is going to jail for 2 years.
Do you want
to
turn
the
on each
rest
other?
Of you are going to jail for 20 years. Whether that's you or them is up to you. Let's go one by one into this small room and we'll talk about it.
Well, I hope we get more details.
I'm basing all of that on, like, what television shows I've watched.
Yeah. Oh, you're not in law enforcement?
No, I'm not at all.
I can't believe
I've never been trained.
All right. Last story of the day.
Oh, no.
And then we got a lot more to discuss. I know. I have to sneeze, but it's not coming out, so I might need to interrupt myself with my sneeze.
Oh, that's exciting. What a great tease.
I'm going to try to move on.
Here are food news.
I think it may pass. We'll see. Okay. A TikToker named Taylor Offer, who is also made an apparel brand in L.A., like so many other people in L.A., came to New York and ordered a bagel.
Oh, God.
And at the bagel shop, he asked for it to be gluten-free and scooped out, and he was mightily rebuffed by his bagel barista.
So we're now about 3 days past this story. I've seen the backlash. I've seen the backlash to the backlash. My number one question for you is, do you believe, Taylor, that this happened in real life?
I do.
I do not.
Okay. Do you think it could happen?
Yes. But I've also seen some response video from bagel workers.
Bagel professionals. Bagel,
and they're like, yeah, we have gluten-free bagels, and yeah, we'll scoop your bagels.
So I do think it depends on where he went. Of course, New York has gluten-free bagels and people asking for it to be scooped all the time. It's not like everyone here is just like, yeah, I want all the carbs. Like, have you?
Yeah. Asking for, like, unicorn farts on your bagel. It's a normal thing.
It's a normal thing. But I do think that certain bagel places, it is like a really high volume business where they're just
line
keep
out the door.
Like,
of
one of my go-to bagel shops is across the street from hospitals. So there's a lot of police and, like, nurses there.
Yeah.
And they're just like, keep it moving.
I have a 20-minute break.
Yeah. I'm not fucking waiting for a bagel to be scooped out. So I think it kind of depends on where he went. But based on what I can glean from this Taylor, I feel like he probably did not go to my bagel shop across the street from a hospital. So good point that perhaps it's not true. But it indicated a lack of awareness of bagel culture.
And I also think that bagels are such a hot topic for someone to sort of, like, use that as a peg for their content to be more viral and more consumed is just kind of like low hanging fruit and a dumb thing to do, which brings us to our food fight.
Last week, you said that you felt bagels were overrated.
Yes.
Do you want to modify or amend that statement to add any nuance, or you just want to let it stand as bagels are overrated?
No, I would love to expand a little bit upon that.
Okay.
I would like to start by saying, I like eating bagels.
Okay.
I eat bagels. I have a bagel breakfast once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I enjoy it. I enjoy the vegetable cream cheese. I enjoy
vegetable
the bagel experience.
Cream cheese.
Yes, I like lots of flavor. I enjoy the full experience, and I like bagels. I'm not saying I don't like bagels. I just think bagels are overhyped, and I think that bagels are over-celebrated, and I think as a breakfast food, they are a once-in-a-while option, not something that you can incorporate into your daily life.
Let's hear from the listeners, and then I'll respond.
Hey, Juliet and Jacoby. This is Margaret from California.
Micah from Ohio.
Stella from Springfield.
your journey.
This is Meryl.
I'm Colleen. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
John from Madison.
This is Kevin calling about the great bagel fight of 2023.
If a bagel is split and you have a half that has cream cheese, lox, capers, any of that stuff, it's money. It's a good, you know, winner.
I am not a bagel sandwich person. If I want a sandwich, I want that to be on bread. I find it easier to eat. Things come out every which way from a bagel. It's hard to hold together. I like an open-faced bagel with lox.
Lox and bagels is, oh, it is an extra special. Delicious. So that completely not overrated, especially with the capers. Need the capers, absolutely.
Wow, caper enthusiasm.
My husband won't kiss me afterwards.
Me neither.
1,000% worth it. But normal bagel and cream cheese, yeah, I would pass too.
Bagels are not overrated because they are delicious. Thank you.
Bagels are only bad if you do a couple things. One, if you don't toast the bagel. Or two, if you do a plain bagel with plain cream cheese.
Bagels are not overrated. Bagels are the best thing you can eat for breakfast. A good bagel is perfect. I love it with lox, cream cheese, capers.
Wow.
Definitely my favorite breakfast.
I, like, somehow agree with both of you. I used to love bagel sandwiches, but they've gotten kind of out of control. New York bagels are also the best bagels. So I feel like New York bagels would not touch. And honestly, if you're going to have a breakfast sandwich, you should just have it like on a roll.
I think the problem is that bagels have a very low floor, but an incredibly high ceiling. I think it's due to its simplicity. They're awful.
I like this guy.
This guy is my guy.
Not well, but if you get a freshly made bagel from a deli, it's incredible.
Bagels are overrated. You. Love you
that's
guys,
like,
but I'm sorry, dude. F*** you!
You've been cursed out twice today.
That's fine.
Okay. I am surprised by the caper enthusiasm.
So much caper enthusiasm. I'm an onion lox
it's a classic.
Cream cheese person.
You can do both. So I think people do onions and capers.
They introduced this in the 1900s as the bagel brunch in New York City. I did some research on this because I knew I was going to be attacked.
Have you been attacked? Well, I guess by that one guy.
I'm going to be attacked.
He said fuck you twice.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about bagels. I agree there's just a wide spectrum. Like, I obviously like tuna on a bagel because I order that for lunch semi-regularly. I think I've had it twice in the last, like, month.
Do you not agree with our caller's very, what I would consider, accurate description of eating a bagel sandwich is this stuff goes everywhere? It kind of shoots out in all directions on the first bite.
It does, but I like how that tastes. I don't mind with tuna.
You don't mind. If tuna just leaves the sandwich, tuna's just like, I start with 100% of tuna. After one bite, I now have 80% of tuna, and I have a bunch of tuna on a waxy piece of paper.
You know what's really good? Scooping that tuna up with your side of potato chips.
Well, I cannot counter with that.
That's a really
I cannot counter
great
that.
Lunch experience.
I cannot counter that.
And yeah, I don't mind it. I think that living in New York, you're taking bagels for granted. Do you remember what it was like when you lived in LA? Bagels in LA are such trash.
Didn't really miss them.
Okay, fair enough. I did. I mean, it's my ultimate comfort food. There's nothing that says more, that's like more homey and more comforting and like great for a hangover than an A-plus bagel.
I disagree. And don't you feel after you eat a bagel with cream cheese that you've had a too carb heavy experience?
I feel that I've had an empty calorie experience. It's not that I feel like it's too many carbs, but I do feel like guilt because I'm just like, this has contributed nothing to my diet, to my nutrition, I should say.
Yeah, I feel that kind of way too. Like at my current job, you can watch The Carton Show every morning, 7 to 9:30 on FS1. You can also listen to The Carton Show podcast anywhere you get podcasts. They sort of cater bagels twice a week and I do not partake anymore.
Right, you mentioned that last week. Yeah, it's an empty meal, but that's okay. Like a comfort meal doesn't have to be contributing to your nutrition. I agree with you. It's not like a daily occurrence unless you're under the age of 10, which is also the ideal age for celebrating Halloween. I see all of you adults out there. And I just think that like there's different ways to enjoy a bagel. I don't think they're overrated at all, but I do agree there's a lot of variance.
So let's talk about our favorite caller. Low floor, high ceiling. So basically, he agrees there's a lot of variance. And I feel like it's kind of like a bell curve, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when you're on the high end of that bell curve, you're going to have a great food experience with a good bagel. But I would say that's the top 15% of bagels. So in general, 85% of bagels are not a good experience. I would say that.
I just don't agree because I think also when I think a bagel is going to be subpar, that's when I go for eggs. When I know it's going to be really good, that's when I go for cream cheese, because the bagel and cream cheese experience can be magical and like just so delicious. I'm a scallion cream cheese girl. I love scallion cream cheese.
I know you don't like spicy, but I like jalapeno cream cheese too.
But if I think it's going to be like a mediocre bagel, that's when I go for egg and cheese, because the melted cheese covers up a lot of sins.
A lot. Yeah. And but would you not rather have just a roll instead of a bagel?
No, I wouldn't.
See, I feel like the bagel overtakes the other ingredients once you make it into a sandwich. It becomes a bagel first and a sandwich second.
But this tracks with my other like baked good preferences. I like a cake donut. I really like a really cakey brownie. Like I like something that's like dense and doughy.
So they said about, at its most basic, this is a quoting from Wikipedia, my main research source. At its most basic, traditional bagel dough contains wheat, flour, salt, water, or other high gluten flours that are preferred to create the firm, dense, but spongy bagel mm-hmm. shape and chewy texture with a dough hydration around 50 to 57%. This is the kicker. Bagel dough is among the stiffest bread doughs. And that's one of the problems that I have with it. No give, too dense, too much bread in my bread.
That's why it's so good for lox.
I do like lox.
The woman who said that if you don't toast it, you're fucking up.
I like toasting.
Toasting, that's the sign of a bad bagel. If you have to toast it, it's not a good bagel.
If you have a fresh bagel that's like, you know, fresh out of the oven, no need for toasting. But I would say that 98% of bagels need toasting in order to taste at their most.
I had an awesome bagel from an unexpected source last week. Have you been to a Conditori?
No, I've never heard of that. Sounds like a person.
It's a coffee shop chain in New York. It's Swedish. They kept advertising their bagels. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to give it a shot. I was like a little hungover. So I was dragging. I was like, I deserve it. I ran into my friend Katie on the way.
Oh.
She came with me. Lifelong friend. Met in preschool. Went to camp together.
You guys just bumped into each other? Went on a bagel mission?
I was like, I'm going to get a bagel. Do you want to come? She's like, yeah, sure.
I love it.
Me too. It was amazing. We lived in the same neighborhood. It was really nice. And we sat on the bench and I ate the bagel. And I was like, we were having like a deep conversation. And I was just thinking the whole time, this bagel is fucking awesome.
Katie's going to listen to this and be like, I really thought that we were going to know each other again. We were catching up.
No,
the whole time she was talking, I was thinking, this bagel's fucking awesome.
I think I commented on it a few times.
So if you only wanted half a bagel, what do you do?
What half? Like, how am I cutting it?
That's the question.
Oh, if I only want half a bagel, well, I on Cape Cod, I usually buy bagels, cut them in half, like open face.
Vertically. Oh.
Open face.
Horizontally, you cut them.
Yeah. And then I put half in the freezer and...
See, I think
half.
You have to cut them vertically because only the top half has most of the stuff on it.
Right.
So then you're going to have a lesser experience. You're not truly cutting it in half. You're taking the good part or the bad part.
Yeah.
It's like cutting a cupcake in half.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Again, I really like bagels. So to me, like the bagel unto itself is worth it.
Can you objectively view bagels, not your experience with bagels, your associations with bagels? Can you do that? This is a serious yes or no question.
No.
Okay. Mike, can you objectively view bagels?
Maybe. What's the question going to be?
Are they overrated?
It depends in what setting you're eating them in.
But I just have a question. If something elicits so much emotion, doesn't that make them inherently valuable? And like a lot of people have an emotional response to bagels.
Yes, I understand that.
I think it depends on how you value a bagel. Is what it means to you or the like if you feel that you're full. Like,
I would never want a bagel to be my sandwich bread. Ever. I've done it millions of times. I just don't prefer it.
Okay, but does that mean that bagels are overrated or just as a sandwich bread, you don't like them?
I don't like them as a sandwich bread. And I would say that only the top percent of bagels to me are worthy of a full bagel breakfast.
All right. I don't know that means it's overrated. I just think that like you don't value bagels.
I think society values bagels too high objectively.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
Okay, fair enough. We've gone way over time. I mean, I also just feel like this is like a really like fraught debate. I don't know that we'll ever find an answer to it. So I'm like at a crossroads. Like, do we just dive into a taste test or do we just leave it there?
Why don't we just put a poll on social media and decide like that science?
I liked how Mike did it. I feel like I feel like we just need to like
we
do
got
a
the
tally.
Pulse of the people.
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to everybody that gave us a call about
Thank you for calling. If you want to participate in this podcast, call 646-STEW-138. Mike got us something to try. So I think we owe it to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, you owe us some personal food news. I already shared an anecdote. Wow, this looks awesome. It's from Olenstein.
What is Olenstein?
I think it's also Norwegian. Whoa. And this is a...
Strudel?
Cinnamon social.
Oh, social, because it's braided in such a way that's really easy to rip apart into pieces. Maybe that's why it's called a social.
Maybe. It looks awesome.
That's great. My personal food news is this. You're a good guy. You don't want to eat empty calories. You go trick-or-treating with your kids. and you're a good person and everything's cool. And then they go to sleep and then you eat 14 pieces of candy and feel crap about yourself the next day. That's my personal food news. If you're a parent, there's gonna be so much candy in your house. Just don't do it. Don't eat it. It'll be satisfying for 20 seconds and then you'll feel bad about yourself for too long.
I think you need to work through some of your guilt with food.
Maybe.
This is fucking awesome.
What is it?
It's like a Danish strudel pastry. It's doughy. It's gooey. It's sweet. Mm. It's cinnamony. It's, I mean, awesome.
It's a remixed, sophisticated cinnamon roll.
But also like a little babka-esque.
Yeah.
It's really fucking good.
It's a nice mix of like the bready dough taste and like just hardcore sugar and cinnamon.
It's really good.
It's good.
I
now
love
that
it.
We talk about serving size a lot. That is not for one person.
Well, it's,
I know it's called
social.
But like this should not, they should not serve it in this size.
Can
if you're getting one for the table, fine.
Agreed. I did not have any candy last night. None. So when I was walking to the office today, I walked past Donut Plant. And I was like, you know what? I deserve a donut. So I got one. It was
nice.
Really good.
Nice.
It was, I think, an apple donut. But I bring it up because it was a small serving. Like, the standard Donut Plant is pretty small.
I like those. There's a place where I grew up has those.
And I really liked that it was just like a normal size.
Yeah.
And so to the point about like guilt, I'm like, yeah, I had a donut, but it wasn't that big.
Wasn't
I didn't
big.
Have any candy last night.
I could have had a donut twice the size at a different place.
Exactly. I walked to work. I walked.
You're doing a great job, Julia.
Thanks. So are you, man.
Thank you so much.
Great job by Mike with that supercut.
I loved it.
Me too. Thank you so much, producer Mike Wargon.
For everyone for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for your opinions.
Please, please call in with your non-traditional Thanksgiving suggestions. You're not on board with that, are you?
I am.
You gave a pause, you looked down.
I just wasn't sure if I had anything else to add, but I think we're done with this podcast
okay.
now.